Hello, I'm Alex DeBoer. Today is Sunday, April 12th, and this is your Vancouver COVID-19 update.
Hi, this is Mike Howell. I am, up until last week, I was a reporter at the Vancouver Courier, and now I still work with the parent company, Glacier Media, and I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I'm happy to talk to Alex today, although I do ramble, so I hope you edit a lot of what I said.
I will.
Mike Howell began reporting for the Vancouver Courier in 2002. The Courier covered civic government and municipal issues in Vancouver, and was Canada's largest distributed community paper up until last week. On April 1st, Courier staff received a memo from parent company, Glacier Media Group, citing a reduction in revenue as cause for temporary layoffs, reduced workweeks, and wage rollbacks. The weekly print newspaper has been suspended until further notice. However, on April 8th, 111,000 copies of Vancouver is Awesome, another Glacier Media production, were printed and distributed around the city for the first time. Mike is the only member of the Vancouver Courier editorial team who wasn't laid off. I spoke with him on Friday, April 10th, about the impacts this public health crisis is having on local government and local journalism.
Hey, this is Alex. Hey, how are you?
Too bad. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Take a listen.
Yeah, how are you? I mean, these last couple weeks have been really shitty.
To say the least. Having the Courier wiped out last week and losing, my entire crew, I have this extreme kind of survivor's guilt.
Right.
And, I've worked at the Courier since 2002. The line is that it's temporary. I'm grateful to have a job, but, we're living in an upside down world right now, and, that's stressful enough, but to have, my workmates lose their jobs, like that. And I'm kind of in a bit of a limbo situation. It's been a difficult couple of weeks, for sure.
Yeah, that's so hard. I don't understand, because obviously Glacier Media owns Vancouver's Awesome and The Courier, but now, as you mentioned, Vancouver's Awesome is being printed. I don't understand how that makes sense. Like, is it being distributed in Vancouver Courier newspaper boxes around the city?
I don't know. They haven't said anything to me. I just had a colleague send me a text with a picture of saying, look what landed on my doorstep this morning. And So you don't have to be an employee to kind of see what's going on. And there's been some commentary on social media. Just people are kind of surprised that the Courier ceased publication, yet a Glacier product with the name Vancouver in it landed on their doorstep a week after they ceased publication of the Courier. So, people can draw their own conclusions what's happening.
Yeah, man. Well, that's really heartbreaking because the Vancouver Courier is, the best City Hall reporting. And as someone who loves municipal news, it's, something I read religiously, and it's just really heartbreaking. And I'm really sorry for all your colleagues who lost their jobs.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Are you the last person left?
At the Courier? Yeah, in editorial.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as I say, we're owned by Glacier. So I'm kind of in a bit of a limbo role right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to do what I've always done in journalism, is that, create my own story ideas and pursue them rather than wait for somebody to assign me.
I'm interested in talking a bit as well about your coverage of City Hall. And as you mentioned, you have been covering City Hall for the Courier since 2002, was it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Okay. So that's a while, 18 years. So obviously everything is different right now, but I wanted to know, just like right off the bat, is there anything that's really strikingly different about covering City Hall right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, the obvious, you know, with the pandemic has changed everything, not just, you know, personally, but, you know, in journalism, government, everything is different now. It was only in February that Kennedy Stewart moved a motion saying, hey, we should target the property tax hike for next year, 2021, to no more than 5%. Let's work on that, council. So that was in February. And, you know, only a month later, or less than a month later, we were talking about losing $200 million in revenue by the end of the year. So the shift has been immense. And I think the last non-pandemic story I wrote, it must have been around the 12th or 13th of March, and then it was just full-on pandemic coverage. And you know, the city has shifted into that as well. That's their prime focus. So the briefings with the mayor, I don't attend. It's all been being done virtually. So that has certainly changed the way I'm doing my job. And I've never been a guy who likes to wait for press releases to come in and simply rewrite press releases. And because there's so many journalists across the city and the province now who are hungry for news and they can't get out. And so anything that comes via email, every reporter seems to jump on it and write their own version of that story. And, you know, depending on the reporter and the organization that they work for, they may get an opportunity to make a few phone calls and turn that press release into a legitimate story, or in the rush to get clicks, they may simply just rewrite the press release, put a headline and photo and get it up as quickly as possible.
Right. And yeah, so you mentioned some of the changes that have happened. Mayor Kennedy Stewart is doing virtual press briefings. And then also, yeah, maybe there's more pressure on journalists to get stories up quickly and just kind of rely on press releases. I'm also wondering about an article you wrote a couple days ago, which is published on Vancouver is Awesome, where you report, you know, that the city is losing up to $5 million a week because they're losing revenue from parking fees, fines, you know, they close community centers, all that stuff. And we've been told Vancouver can't kind of spend its way out of this crisis because municipalities in BC legally can't run a deficit. Can you explain just briefly, like, what that means?
The idea here is that the city depends on money to come in from taxpayers for the bulk of their budget. And I don't just mean in property taxes, but in fees, parking revenue, some of the things you mentioned there. So to take all that out puts them in a real dire situation. And yeah, some municipalities are really hurting, and Vancouver certainly is one of them. And the meeting going ahead on Tuesday, there'll be more discussion around that. I think I saw a tweet from Councillor Lisa Dominato saying that, you know, this is something we've got to sort out on our own. We can't be going to, you know, the provincial government asking for $200 million because that's not a way to, you know, conduct the business of the city. So I am anticipating some debate Tuesday about, you know, these recommendations to keep the city afloat.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to listen in on. And of course, like, something I'm thinking about is that Mayor Kennedy Stewart and his response to this loss in revenue, which has been, as you mentioned, to request $200 million from the province. This has been compared with Mayor Brad West of Port Coquitlam and his response, which has kind of been the opposite in that he said he plans to actually reduce property taxes and plans to defer tax and utility payments to September. So yeah, this comparison between the two cities has been drawn, though I wonder how solid it is, because of course Port Coquitlam is a very different and small, much smaller city than Vancouver. What do you think about this comparison?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair. I haven't looked closely at it, but yeah, I know you're right. Port Coquitlam is a small city, a much smaller population. Everything's smaller about it compared to Vancouver. The budget, they share police force with Coquitlam, and so they don't have their own police department. They've got, you know, I don't know how many firehouses. Anyway, it's smaller across the board, and I don't know. I'm just hesitant to compare a smaller, you know, municipality like POCO to Vancouver. So I know that the mayor Stewart put forward some scenarios at a briefing this week, talking about, you know, what this would mean for property tax increases, and they were crazy numbers, like they were like 20% increase or something like that. But he said, you know, obviously that's not going to happen, but what is going to happen, I have no idea, and I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of all the unknowns, which, you know, everything is unknown, we don't know how long this will last, and you know, Mayor Stewart laid out a few scenarios for how much property tax would have to go up depending on how long this pandemic goes on for. But if we're to look at alternatives besides asking for emergency funding from the province, I did see that former NPA councillor George Affleck, who is has a lot of opinions on Twitter, he laid out a bunch of ways the city could cut down on their operating budget, which he says amount to $200 million, which is, you know, some of them are like cut for 43 communication staff. That's $5 million. You know, staff cut overall by 10%, $100 million. Mayor's office cut by 75%, $1 million. Renegotiate debt servicing, $10 to $20 million. Cut counselors' play money, $300,000, etc. So I don't know. I guess we're going to see on Tuesday probably other MPA counselors or former MPA counselors like Rebecca Bly make similar arguments.
That's what I anticipate, is that there will be a series of amendments and recommendations from councillors, because, yeah, when people see the money that has been spent, I mean, I think it's a $1.6 billion operating budget, and year over year, people, you know, focus in on one or two areas of the budget and say, this is outrageous. Why are we spending money on this when we should be spending it on this? So everybody has their, you know, different priorities. So I think we will see some of that on Tuesday, where people will say things that maybe George is saying too, that there can be some cuts here and there. And I mean, let's face it, they're going to have to cut somewhere. They've laid off 1,500 employees already, although it's supposed to be temporary. They're going to have to. It's going to have to be drastic in certain areas. And I don't know. I haven't gone through the budget kind of line by line, because I just haven't had time to do that. But we'll see what happens on Tuesday, because I think that's going to be the real test. Because if they really think they're in that dire of a situation where they're going to lose $200 million by year's end if the pandemic persists, then there's going to have to be some significant changes made, like, quickly. So yeah, I anticipate that kind of stuff coming forward for sure next week. I think every councillor is going to have something to say about that.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the reasons Mayor Stewart has said the city of Vancouver in particular needs this emergency funding from the province is because of the unique needs of the downtown east side. So, yeah, do you think that the province will be more likely to give funding to Vancouver?
Well, I mean, Vancouver as a whole, in terms of their operating budget, I think is a separate discussion to the downtown east side. If there is any, I hate to use the term silver lining in this, is that this pandemic has reinforced the need to do something for Vancouver's most vulnerable. You know, the issue about the city's budget and where it gets its money and what's going to happen in the months ahead of how it handles its finances. You know, it has to be looked through a lens of, well, you know, if Kennedy Stewart really, his top priority is really the most vulnerable in the city, then I would say that that has to be, you know, heightened in the response from him and the lobbying of province and feds. But it's a, like I said, it's an upside down world right now. We're in extraordinary times, and you know, will really be a test of leadership. You know, all this and how it's sorted out.
Yeah, I was going to ask what kind of, as a final question, like what kind of lasting changes, if any, do you think we'll see in our civic government? And so it seems like maybe you're answering that now.
Yes. Like I think there will be a shift in some of the priorities. Maybe we'll see more funding directed to our most vulnerable. Maybe we'll see cuts in certain departments where maybe in the communications department. I don't know. I know the communications department. I mean, it's a city, so I haven't compared, say, communications to Edmonton or Calgary or Montreal or Toronto, but they do a lot of in-house stuff. It's a major city in the world, so is it warranted to have that many people? I don't know, but that's a discussion that'll maybe happen. But you know, there's other departments too that people have pointed to and say there's just way too many people working in these departments and they're making way too much money, and maybe it's time to hit the pause button and look at our financial situation and see. But yeah, I mean, how can this not have an effect on the way that the city operates? I mean, it already has, right?
And in terms of local journalism, do you see possibly things recovering since, you know, there have been cuts to the Georgia Strait and, you know, pretty much everyone was cut at the Vancouver Courier where you work? Like, do you see some of that coming back?
I'd like to be optimistic, but, you know, the industry was in trouble prior to the pandemic. And I just don't think the business model is there anymore to sustain what we've known as kind of the traditional journalism. So I think there may be opportunity through this. Maybe, you know, like in a nonprofit model. That, I mean, I have lots of ideas, and I know the people that I would hire to run a, you know, a great journalism, online journalism, you know, publication. And I know that, you know, nobody could compete with us if I got the right people there.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's, I'm a bit of a dinosaur that way, but I've always, you know, had a passion for journalism, and I don't like to see the direction it's gone in the last decade, but I know that there's a lot of like-minded people out there, not just from my generation, but new journalists, people who are interested in the world and in their cities. And, you know, there's got to be some space for that, because I think in times like this, people really want stories, they want information, and they can't get it all from, you know, Facebook or somebody's, you know, commentary, or they need credible sources and voices. So I'm hopeful, but I've been doing this for a long time, and it doesn't look good right now. It's such a shame, because let's face it, the Lower Mainland is growing. Mm-hmm. And so are the issues. And it's not just Vancouver. I mean, right through the region, there's stories and, you know, governments that need to be held account to their decision-making, because we're anticipating, I don't know, another million people in the next 20 years at the Lower Mainland. So all those pressures, and if you don't have anybody in any communities telling that stuff, I think that's really dangerous. Andy Yan always uses that quote, that democracy dies in the darkness, and that might sound a little like, whoa, but, you know, I do believe that.
Glacier Media is BC's largest publicly traded media organization. It owns more than 150 papers and websites across Canada, and has made layoffs at other publications as well. And Glacier Media isn't alone. With lost revenue from local advertising, community papers across Canada have been bleeding. According to Broadcast Dialogue, there have been layoffs at Saltwater Network in Atlantic Canada, as well as Halifax's The Coast. CN2I in Quebec, which owns 6 regional newspapers, laid off 143 staff. Media Central, the company that owns the Georgia Strait here in Vancouver, and Now in Toronto, have made layoffs. Then there's Black Press, which owns around 80 publications here in BC, and has also made layoffs. It's clear this crisis is industry-wide. But when companies adapt to survive, when they make cuts, we need to watch carefully where they're cutting. Glacier Media has responded to lost revenue with, and I quote, temporary layoffs, reduced workweeks, and wage rollbacks. These have been done on a company-wide basis, including management and staff. Management and staff. How much does the average manager or journalist or administrative worker make at Glacier Media? According to payscale.com, the average Glacier Media salary in Canada is $66,000 a year. And what about the company's executive leadership? According to a shareholder meeting report, the president and CEO of Glacier Media, Jonathan Kennedy, made just short of $752,000 in 2018. I've reached out to Glacier Media to ask if Jonathan Kennedy will be taking a wage rollback, like many of his staff are doing. So far, there's been no mention of executives taking any kind of pay cut, and I haven't yet gotten a reply, but I'll keep you updated. Lastly, if you're interested in watching Tuesday's City Council meeting, it begins at 9:30 a.m. You can live stream it on the city's website. Thank you for listening. This piece was made by me, Alex DeBoer, with research assistance by Dorothy Neufeld. Special thanks to Mike Howell for his time. The songs you hear are Line Etching and Dolly Pop by Blue Dot Sessions. Take care.